97.1 FM Talk Podcast. Hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Now, try not to get fired playing some Shane Gillis clips here from the ESPYs last night. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Mark Reardon. Some of these are not... It's not like the FCC will fine you, but at the very least, the boss would call you and say, sit down, we need to talk. Some of these jokes.
Yeah, do you want to risk this, Ryan?
Nah, not really. Some of these jokes are, I think, fine to play. Some of these are not. I think mission accomplished for ESPN. They wanted to, hey, you know what? This is for the boys. Let's have some fun. And Shane Gillis is ultimately that type of comedian. And I think people are talking about it. I think that the positive will outweigh the negative when it comes to the backlash. And who knows, he might be back again sometime in the future. But either way, if their whole point was getting people to understand that they exist still when no one knows they exist, then mission accomplished. They were able to do it.
This one, I think we can definitely play this one right here, Ryan.
So let's back up in case someone's just joining us. Shane Gillis, a popular comedian. He was the host of the ESPYs, which is ESPN's award ceremony, yearly award ceremony. It's been going on for a long time, and they always have a monologue from a comedian. And Shane Gillis could be known at times for being quite controversial and also quite very, very, very funny. He may be the hottest comedian in the country right now, him and Nate Bargatze. So let's play some clips from the monologue last night, why everyone's talking about it on social media right now. So
Donald Trump wants to stage a UFC fight on the White House lawn. The last time he staged a fight in D.C., Mike Pence almost died. No. You don't have to do that. It was fine. I didn't write it. Actually, there was supposed to be an Epstein joke here, but I just got deleted. Must have probably deleted itself, right? Probably never existed, actually. Let's move on as a country and ignore that.
Okay, so you can tell when they do a shot of the crowd, you can look at it, and there are some people, they're thinking to themselves, I can't be caught on camera laughing at this. Other people are like rolling on the ground. There's like only two reactions that you can have to this sort of thing. All right, Shane Gillis, you can kind of tell, he has this thing where he says, all right, I don't care if you don't like it. Like, he has this thing where he points out, whatever, you don't like that. Okay, I guess you don't like me. You got me. You know, he's very good at summarizing reactions, I think, as a defense mechanism, but then he turned it into part of the comedy, which is really good.
He did this multiple times last night where it was like, oh, all right, you guys didn't like that one, or I get it, you don't like me, you're not a fan. He did that a few times. I didn't write that one. Like, he's really good at that, like you said. He did that on when he hosted SNL, I don't know, probably a year ago also. So that is definitely one of his strengths.
Mm-hmm. What's the one with Shohei Ohtani? Do you have that clip? Is this good?
I do. Yeah. All right, here we go. This is on you, not me.
Wait, hold on. Hold on before you play it then. Is it bad?
This is the Bill Belichick one I was telling you about.
Oh, okay. This is no big deal then.
They're combined.
Okay.
You think that's okay?
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay.
Bill Belichick has, for reference, a very young girlfriend. It's very weird. Let's put it that way. I think the age gap, everyone's pointed out to it and saying, what is up here? Like, what's the age gap there? It's like
49 years, I think.
49-year age gap. Bill Belichick running around with this young lady. Okay, people are going to make fun of it. That's how it goes.
Shohei Ohtani couldn't make it tonight. Man, I hope his interpreter didn't bet that he was going to be here. Shohei is a once-in-a-generation talent. No one's been able to do what he does at so many positions. Pitcher, hitter, and bookie. A bookie is what Bill Belichick reads to his girlfriend before bedtime.
Come on, that's funny.
They do. They read The Very Horny Caterpillar. The Little Engine That Could But Needed a Pill First. And, of course, the classic Goodnight Boobs.
Wait, I didn't know that last one. But it's okay. Juvenile, yes. Funny. I think that's hilarious. They hate that. Remember when they did the roast to Tom Brady and he got so upset because someone started making Bill Belichick jokes?
It was Robert Kraft jokes.
Oh, Robert Kraft jokes.
Yeah.
Was it Kraft?
Oh, it was Kraft. Yeah. Because he's owner of the Patriots, and like there had been
got caught at massage parlors.
Yeah. Well, he had videos of him like kissing like people on the lips like that aren't his wife. It's just kind of weird. Like it's like why he just kisses people on the lips, and I think they were like kind of picking her on that. And Brady like literally walked up and was like, "Stop doing that right now." It's like, oh, okay.
At a roast, you have to stop telling jokes about someone else. And by the way, they paid Brady. How much did he get paid for that? It was ridiculous.
Probably a pretty good chunk, I'd imagine.
I want to say it was like $10 million for him to do that or something crazy. They paid him, Tom Brady, to be roasted, and he's dictating the jokes that could be told about him. When we come back, we're going to get to Sue's news, and I think we need a break from Shane Gillis. Hopefully, I don't get called into the boss's office. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Mark Reardon, 97.1 FM Talk. And I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Mark Reardon. And I was just checking my phone. I did not get a message from the boss. So that is a good sign. We're in the clear to play even the more risky stuff. I'm just kidding.
I imagine we're probably not the only station to play that this morning.
No, we're not playing the other stuff. No, I just want to say, just because we had the opportunity to have those clips played, so Drew picked the ones that would get us in trouble on purpose. I think he was purposely seeing what would happen if we were to play the clips.
Seems like a Drew thing to do.
Doesn't it, though? All right, let's go to Sue's news.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No, 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 no.
And now, Sue's news. Brought to you by Sue.
Do we have the bell, Fred?
I am looking for it.
It's right over here. It's by Wiggins' spot. Right there. Okay. No, we have it. We have it.
Okay.
Right there, Fred. Right in front of you. There you go. He found it.
Okay. Well, it is National World Emoji Day. Okay. National Yellow Pig Day. What?
What?
Yellow?
I don't. National Peach Ice Cream Day. Now, that deserves a ding. Mm. That sounds good to me.
Yeah.
And National Tattoo Day. Now, for National Tattoo Day, Brian Regan has a little bit on tattoos. I thought we could play that.
Thinking of getting a tattoo? But I want to get a tattoo that's unique, you know? I don't want a tattoo like everybody else. So I want to get a tattoo of a blender. A big one on my chest, you know? Then when I go to the public pool, take my shirt off, everyone will be spellbound. They'd be like... Is that a blender? Born to frappe. I have unusual tattoo ideas. I think someone should get a tattoo of a dozen Easter eggs, but tell the tattoo artist to hide them. You get back in shape, you might find a golden egg.
That kind of amused me. And then on this day in history 16 years ago, you might find a golden egg. In 2009, legendary CBS anchorman Walter Cronkite passed away. He was 92. I can't believe it's been 16 years since he passed. And of course, he would say, and that's the way it is.
Mm. Fred, did you ever get to talk to Walter Cronkite?
I did
over
not.
The years through KMOX?
Okay. I didn't think of that's a good question.
Well, with the CBS affiliation.
Charles Osgood has been here a couple of times, but never Walter Cronkite.
See, I didn't know as part of the affiliation, sometimes they would have the big anchors would call in for special occasions or something like that.
Yeah, that would have been really cool. Can you imagine? Good grief. I talked to Charles Osgood once because I called about when he took over CBS Sunday Morning. After, who was the guy who did it for years?
Charles Kuralt.
And I left Charles Osgood a message. I was going to, and then it turns out he picked up the phone, and it freaked me out. You know, they just had sent me. I said, can I talk to Charles? And he, instead of voicemail, I got him, and I just said, oh, I just wanted to call and say it was difficult losing Carrolt, but I think you're doing a nice job. And he said, thank you. He was really nice.
Oh, you know, not to brag or anything, but I think Fred has met maybe one of the most popular people in the entire planet. Didn't the Pope want to meet you, Fred?
No, Billy Graham.
Oh, Billy Graham. Ooh, that's Billy right. Graham. Billy Graham. That's still very good.
Yeah. That's okay, really good. Wait, he wanted to meet you?
Yeah, we met when he was in town. He said he wanted to get together, so we got together at the convention center, in the annals of the convention center, and talked for a while.
That's really nice.
Yeah,
that was nice.
He grew up listening to KMOX, so he's always been a big KMOX fan.
That's okay. Really cool.
Yeah, that is really cool. His son, who looks exactly like him, when he shows up on TV doing a spot for something, I'm always like, woo!
And his son is the one that now runs Samaritan's Purse.
Yeah,
is that
Franklin
right?
Graham. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Wow. Also, on this day in history, 10 years ago in 2015, Ant-Man was released.
Good one.
Starring Paul Rudd. And I did that just 10 years. I don't know where time goes.
Michael Douglas, I think, was in that too.
Maybe.
Yeah.
You know, I got to be honest. If you would have said, when did Ant-Man come out? I would have said 2010. I thought it was older than that.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
No, it was in it wasn't in the original generation. It was in one of the newer phases.
Yeah.
It wasn't bad. I mean, I made it through part of that. So it couldn't have been too bad.
It's a middle of the pack Marvel movie, but it is very funny.
Yeah,
it's so funny. Like when you go to like Rotten Tomatoes and they give you a percentage, like, oh, 7.1%, that's a fresh movie. For Sue, it's the percentage of the movie she got through. So if it's like an 85%, that means she got through 85% of the movie, and that's pretty good.
Oh, my gosh. Especially if it's some sort of Marvel thing or a blab, you know, anything along those lines. Or Star Wars. If I make it 5-10 minutes in, it's impressive.
Oh, boy.
All right. The British Open began today in Northern Ireland, and I believe it started crazy early our time, but they say there's some people who get up. It would have been like 1 o'clock in the morning. Hardcore fans had to get up early to see it live. Scottie Scheffler looking for his first win there for the golf fans. And did you guys hear the story about the American Idol music supervisor and her husband that
it's
were
just
found
shocking.
Shot to death? Oh my gosh. That happened earlier this week. And
wait,
police...
what happened? I missed this. No.
Oh, Fred, you can explain.
Yeah, so this couple, they're in their 70s. Their family, their kids, hadn't heard from them in several days. And apparently they were found, they did a wellness check, and they were found dead, shot to death brutally in their homes on Monday. And they believe they were killed on Thursday. And they think it was during a burglary attempt.
That's
and they've
exactly
made
right.
an arrest of a suspect that they could see, on video. And now they're trying to put together the timeline and some evidence that he was actually in the neighborhood in time for the shooting.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, he was a 22-year-old guy. And they think that he jumped the fence of Robin Kay and Thomas DeLuca's house and went in through a door that was left unlocked. And I think they left it unlocked because they have this massive fence. But somehow the guy got over it. And just like Fred said, he was burglarizing the place when the couple arrived home and he allegedly shot them.
That's awful.
It is awful. But the fact that they got him is a positive. And his fingerprints were found in the house, they say. And they say they do have footage of him, just like Fred said, on security cameras. So they're trying to organize it all. But it was enough to arrest him. So at least something has happened.
Wow.
That's so
That's
scary.
Something else. That's terrible. Yeah, all these terrible. Different stories of people breaking in. Remember when someone tried to do that to George Harrison? They broke into his house and stabbed him? You remember that one?
Wow, that's going back. But I do kind of.
It's
they
terrible.
Stabbed him? I didn't remember that part.
I think that's what happened. Maybe I'm getting it wrong. But there has been instances where celebrities have their houses broken into. And as recently as the pro athletes, people have been on the road playing ball and then they get their house ransacked.
You know what?
This has been happening.
You're right, because and where else are you going to find someone exact schedule but a football player, any kind of pro player, you know exactly when they're on the road.
Yeah, Joe Burrow was the big name one from this past NFL season. And then even, I think it just came out today, Ketel Marte, who plays for the Diamondbacks, he was an all-star, and he was at the all-star game. And I guess he was robbed when he was at the festivities in Atlanta. So pretty crazy stuff.
Yeah.
It's scary to think, though, that you just come home and there's somebody already in your house burglarizing it, and then you just, horrible.
Would your dogs allow that, Sue?
Oh, my gosh, Fred. They'd roll out the red carpet. Can you scratch
me? Take what
here?
You want. Just give me a nice little pet.
Yeah, that's right. If you could just, you know.
You're here to feed me.
A little behind the ear. Right. Yeah. But maybe, I mean, I don't actually know if there was somebody they didn't know, they may actually bark. You know, if somebody walks down the street and they hear it, then there's barking.
Yeah, if a burglar broke into my house, I think Luna, my dog, would let them in, unless the burglar brought another dog with him.
Oh,
and then it would be
point.
A whole different story. Then they'd be barking like crazy.
Yeah,
that's what we need is burglars carrying dogs.
That's right.
All the dogs would go nuts. Well, Fred found this story, and I love it. Okay, President Trump announced that Coca-Cola has agreed to use real cane sugar in its soda in the U.S. Bell, please. Now, he's known for drinking Diet Coke, which I don't think has any kind of real sugar in it. It can't, right? It's got to have the fake stuff. But he is an appreciator of Coca-Cola, and the president expressed his gratitude to Coke for the decision, stating, oh, this is very Trump, this will be a very good move by them. You'll see.
You know,
just better.
I don't even know if Coca-Cola has agreed to it yet, though, or not. They say they're still thinking about it. It's still in the pipeline.
Well, the fact that they're pondering it makes me go, I mean, they say it's been since the 80s that they've been using high fructose corn syrup. People now, when they go to Mexico or other countries, are really big about bringing that back or ordering the real sugar Coke that they have elsewhere. They also say, well, we have cost concerns. We'll see. Some Democrats, of course, are saying, oh, this is a distraction from Epstein. Who knows? But in 2025, Coca-Cola CEO James Quincy presented Trump with a limited edition commemorative inaugural Diet Coke bottle to celebrate his second inauguration. So I guess they're buddies. That kind of made me laugh.
Sometimes you go to the grocery store and you see the Coke still in the glass bottles, which are fantastic. You can buy the cane sugar ones. It's a special treat if you can find one with it. But if they were all that way, what a great change that would be. And I know Make America Healthy Again has been a big effort for that. Even switching out some of these little ingredients can make big differences over time.
Agreed. I think that makes sense. I hope they do it. And here's our feel-good story of the day. Okay. It's another dog story. A 10-year-old chocolate lab in Alaska slipped out of his collar on a camping trip on the 4th of July, and his owners didn't think they'd ever see him again. But then a pilot heard about it. They posted it on Facebook, and they said, here's our dog. His name is Coda. If you happen to be out there and you see him. Well, the pilot loves dogs, and he went up to fly, went to find the dog. And the pilot landed about a mile and a half from where the dog went missing. And within minutes, Coda, because he's a sweet chocolate lab, just came strolling out of the woods to see who he was. He flew him to Anchorage, reunited him with his owners. And we don't have time for the sound that goes with that. But they were thrilled. So she said, gosh, he was a little traumatized. But he seemed still really sweet. Aww. And finally, in Sue's news, we have today's random facts. An average of 350 slices of pizza are sold in the U.S. every second.
Oh, nice.
350 slices of pizza every second in the U.S.
Some right
love
now.
It
is the perfect food.
It is the perfect food. And that's it for Sue's news.
All right. Senior research analyst for the Media Research Center's Newsbusters, Bill DiAgostino, is joining us after the break. I'm Ryan Recker filling in 97.1 FM Talk. And welcome back. I'm Ryan Recker filling in. I'm a big fan of Newsbusters. I think they do fantastic homework. when it comes to analyzing the way the media portrays certain topics. A lot of times you'll find that they'll watch endless hours of newscasts and they'll say, isn't that strange that they're only covering this for 8 seconds among all the major networks, but they'll go 20 minutes on something that you would look at and say, wait, you're only doing that because you hate Donald Trump. And over and over and over again, you get to see these type of editorial decisions that are made behind the scenes, and it gives you a glimpse into the decision-making and why they make these decisions, which makes you question why they're covering things to begin with. Joining us now is Senior Research Analyst for the Media Research Center's Newsbusters, Bill D'Agostino. Thank you for coming on to the show. We appreciate it. Hi, Bill. Are you there? Oh, I can kind of hear you. It's like I'm in the pocket right now. Oh, hi, Bill.
Yeah, am I coming through all right?
We got you now. How are you today, sir?
Okay, great. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Well, I know that you do a lot of different research, and one of the big topics that people are covering right now is the story out of New York and their nominee, Mamdani. What have you seen right now in the way that he is being covered and what they're deciding to cover on this?
Well, there have been a few instances where the networks, we focus specifically on broadcast networks for most of this coverage, or these coverage studies, by the way, like that's ABC, CBS, and NBC, because their evening newscasts get about 19 to 20 million viewers per night, which is makes them basically the most watched newscast in the country, more so than any cable show. But on those, we've seen a few instances where they're willing to describe him as left wing. But they won't go much beyond that. And they're focusing almost entirely on the economic aspect. They don't really feel comfortable talking about anything that would, you know, genuinely confuse or upset people about him. So in other words, we're seeing that they're largely trying to sanitize his platform. For example, the fact that he has espoused openly communist views, right? He's talked about seizing the means of production, his desire, his wish that one day we could abolish private property. I mean, these are that is communism, right? That's like there's no splitting hairs there. The fact that he's talked about, for example, taxing whiter neighborhoods for being whiter neighborhoods, that's gotten zero coverage. They don't like discussing anything that would basically paint him as the sort of radical leftist that has taken over so much of the Democratic Party's base.
You know, I think about him as an individual and all the different controversies you read about where even those in the same party think, oh boy, I really don't want to stand next to this guy. And then they find some different politicians who have stood by him in the past and they're like, oh, they're doing their best to try to distance themselves from him.
Right.
I look at this as a news story. So let's put it this way. Why do you think New York City and the mayor of New York City for the most part, people think of it as a pretty liberal place to begin with. Does that play a factor, you think, sometimes in the decision-making process, which is, well, the people that are actually affected by this probably don't care as much?
It could. I think the fact that he is serving as a stand-in for the future of the Democratic Party, right? He's basically an AOC. He's this young, extremely left-wing, I would say, like socialist communist ideologue. And at a time when the Democratic Party has their back against a wall to try to placate their base, right? Their base is significantly further to the left and more extreme politically than most of the elected politicians are. They're finally reaching a point, I think, where a lot of strategists within the party are starting to say, okay, do we actually need to start meeting them on the left, right? Do we actually need to start careening leftward even more to meet our base there? Or are we just going to lose enthusiasm? And so this is kind of nerve-wracking for the media, who are, of course, Democratic Party boosters, because they know that these ideas are not popular to a wider audience, right? They're not popular unless you're a, you know, 20-something vote blue no matter who kind of person. And so what they have to do, it falls to them to sanitize these candidates and these ideas which basically means that they're trying to help the Democratic Party sell something extremely radical as though it were moderate.
Mm. Joining us here is Bill D'Agostino. He's senior research analyst for the Media Research Center's Newsbusters. And this is kind of adjacent, but I think about the Biden health cover up and all the work you guys did looking at every time there was a story about this, it not being covered over and over and over and over again. Then all of a sudden, right. Joe Biden's out of office and all of a sudden everyone's talking about it because Jake Tapper, whoever, is going to put out a book. Is that any consolation prize to you that one day maybe you'll get a little vindication that these things should have been covered, or after it's too late, you're kind of bitter that it took them so long? How do you feel when things like this come out after the fact, when you were there screaming it for so long?
Well, there's never some grand I told you so moment where they come to you hat in hand and say, you were right, we were wrong, and we're sorry. That's just never something you can expect of the news media, because I think that to have the kind of job that, say, a CNN or MSNBC anchor has, you have to be borderline physically incapable of experiencing shame. So there's never going to be that kind of mea culpa, you guys were right, we were so wrong, we're sorry moment. I mean, like, look at Russiagate, right? I mean, I think that if you really cornered one of these people and forced them to answer for Russiagate, they'd probably just start denying what the allegations even were back then, what some of the things that the news media were saying back then, right? They would try to sanitize it. In other words, they would whitewash it. They would downplay it. And that's, frankly, that's kind of what Tapper's book is as well. Tapper's book is an effort for him and by proxy the entire media to run over to the side of Republicans and say, oh my gosh, wow, Biden is really old. I can't believe they lied to us about that.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm sorry, what do you mean they? Get back on your side. You're part of the they, buddy.
That's right.
So it's a bit thankless in that regard. But you learn to get appreciation just from being vindicated in the eyes of people who are actually paying attention, right? Because the media certainly won't give you the vindication, but the general public will.
I find it so fascinating just looking at what is the decision-making process, what they decide to spend their most time on versus the things they decide not to spend time on. It's very telling to me. But I want to go back to PBS and NPR, but in PBS in particular, what you find a lot of Democrats in Congress saying, oh, they're not even that one-sided. In fact, oh, they're not one-sided at all. I know you've been watching PBS and some of the coverage that they decide to use as part of their news coverage as well. What do you think about cutting their funding and part of it being that they're so one-sided? What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, what do I think about the cutting of PBS and NPR? We have a half day tomorrow in celebration. I'll say that much. this has been a big goal of ours for a very long time. And if anybody is ever feeling squeamish about that, just swing over to Newsbusters and take a look at some of the clips that we've put together of NPR and PBS coverage, and just be thankful that your tax dollars aren't paying for that anymore. If they want to continue being borderline MSNBC but boring, they're perfectly free to do that without my money being garnished to without my salary being garnished to pay for it. Right. That's basically the long and short of it.
Yeah, and I talked about this a little bit on the show yesterday, and I think that one of the things I don't really hear people talking about mostly is that as a broadcaster and someone in the business, we've gone through many different instances where a lot of my colleagues and good people have lost their jobs because there's just not funding. The amount of money is just, there's not enough to go around, and I keep thinking, why should a competitor of ours, an NPR station, be getting government subsidies so people can continue to spout this left-wing garbage when the rest of the broadcast world have to make decisions and compromises based on what the audience they're trying to reach is trying to do? And I'm sure that the people that work there are highly compensated and they got more people than they need to. Now they're going to have to make a decision like everyone else. And our competition shouldn't get a leg up by getting government funding, especially because they don't serve the public better than any of these other terrestrial radio stations do.
No, they absolutely don't. And in fact, that was a big sticking point of, or not sticking point, I guess, but like line of defense of theirs that we spent a decent amount of time tearing down, because they would routinely say, well, such, for example, we're needed for these emergency alerts, right? I mean, you know, like Americans need us to give out all of the emergency alerts. And we said, well, okay, how'd you do on the Texas flooding? And it turns out that their local NPR station took, I think it was, what did we find? Hours to get the alert out about it, like slower than local radio stations, in other words, by leaps and bounds, right? And I mean, any public broadcaster is required to send out those alerts, right? And those serve 96% of the country, right? 96% of the country has access to those through some means other than NPR. And the people who don't are rapidly getting access to things like Starlink. And generally, if you're in that 4%, you're also not getting access to PBS or NPR. So it's kind of, they are beyond redundant, right? I mean, look, Elmo's safe. Right. He's privately owned now. Mr. Rogers is dead, unfortunately. Bob Ross as well. God rest his soul. And MSNBC already exists for the left wing stuff. And C-SPAN already exists as a sleep aid. So I really don't see what they are offering that somebody else isn't already.
And part of what we have been trained to do, at least as people that consume media, is that we support the people we want to support. There's Patreons for independent creators that are highly successful. They're able to do the things they want based on the support of their patrons. And same thing, if you want to support your local station, give them the money, get your tote bag, and be happy the programming is still going on. That model exists for them. Go ahead and solicit the local businesses that want to do the same. You can continue to operate just without taxpayer money. They can do it. So enough with this. We should have cut them off a long time ago. Real quick, if people wanted to see your work on Newsbusters or anywhere else, where can people go?
Yeah, come check us out at newsbusters.org. We update the site practically hourly. We're constantly putting on new stuff there. That's for our long form studies and for our day-to-day bias tracking. You can follow us at Newsbusters on Twitter as well. And of course, if you are so inclined, follow me at Twitter at @band_Bill, although I'm not banned anymore. Or I guess X, not Twitter, right?
Well, sure. But I say you're an organization worthy of people to be patrons of as well, because you guys do fantastic work. And I got to say, it's always good when I see an article. You do such a great job at breaking things down. Senior research analyst for the Media Research Center's Newsbusters, Bill D'Agostino. Thank you so much for coming on and joining us here in St. Louis.
Absolutely. Always good to talk. Have a good one.
You as well. And coming up after the break, Dr. Anthony Sun, an interventional cardiologist with Mercy Heart and Vascular. Announcement today that President Trump was diagnosed with a benign and common vein condition. We're going to talk about that. What is it? And what happens next? Coming up, I'm Ryan Recker, filling in 97.1 FM Talk. And welcome back. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in at Ryan Recker. If you want to look me up online, joining us now is an interventional cardiologist with Mercy Heart and Vascular, Dr. Anthony Sohn. Thank you for coming on today. We appreciate it.
My pleasure.
So the news that came out today, President Donald Trump was diagnosed with chronic venous insufficiency during a recent medical exam. Venous, maybe I'm saying it wrong. I was hoping you can explain venous. Got it. They should spell it like the planet, and then it would be easier for me to pick up on that. Okay, but now that I know, venous, chronic venous insufficiency during a medical exam. Can you explain to us what that is?
Sure. It's basically a condition in which the veins in the legs are unable to really efficiently return blood back to the heart. And what happens then is that blood will pool in the lower extremities or legs, which will cause swelling.
Got it. And that's what some people picked up on. They took a photo and they saw it and they wondered what was going on there. So generally speaking, he's 79 years old and they say that this is happening to him. How common is it? How serious is it?
It's actually quite common. Unfortunately, as we all get older, the likelihood that we can have this is much higher. And this is basically, and there's really a lot of different reasons why one can develop this. But quite honestly, anyone who is in an occupation that requires prolonged standing is at risk for something like this. So for President Trump, who I think is in his 70s, I mean, unfortunately, just by age and what he does predisposes him to have this.
Right. And yeah, when you see these sort of things, you know, it could be a burden to some people. And, you know, I'm relatively young, I guess. Is this something that happens, you're higher risk at a certain age, or can really anyone get this?
Well, anyone at any age can really get this. Usually we start seeing it in patients who are in their 20s, 30s. Wow. But as I said before, as you get older, you're more likely to develop it.
Right. How do you treat something like this?
Well, the best way to treat it is really, number one, staying active. Number two, you know, being of a normal weight. Number three, keeping yourself well hydrated. But the most common way we do it in this age group is wearing compression hose.
Oh, okay, so that's basically tight-fitting socks or something like that?
Yes. These are graduated compression stockings that, as you wear them, there's a tighter or pressure in the lower extremities as they go up to get lighter, and that prevents the blood from pooling, effectively preventing the swelling.
Also, basically, you're just preventing the blood from going to certain parts. There's just not enough space for it to go to, and it kind of helps de facto that way?
Yeah, something like that.
Oh, interesting. So I'm sure that's kind of like a temporary fix. So basically, improve your health, drop some weight, things like that. Will this clear up, or once you get it, you get it, and you're going to have it always?
Usually, once you get it, you get it. But, you know, taking care of some of those risk factors will prevent less swelling and less pooling of blood. But it really depends on, you know, what the mechanism of why they develop that is. And there's a lot of different ways that people can develop it.
Is this more of an inconvenience thing, or down the line, do you have to intervene? Like, is there surgery or something like that?
Yeah, it's a spectrum. So some people may just have some light swelling. Some people may have some skin changes associated with it, whether it be discoloration. But in the severe cases, people can develop wounds from it. And there are procedures and surgeries that can be performed to fix those issues.
Well, for the most part, let's say you have this and you're the president of the United States, you have a lot of medical attention at your disposal at any given time. For the most part, when you have these type of guidance, is do you just live a normal life? Does anything change?
Yeah, I mean, most people who have chronic venous insufficiency will have a normal life, and their life expectancy is normal.
Interesting. Can you get it in other parts of your body, like in your fingers, get it or anything like that?
You can, but it's less likely. It's usually because of the legs are always, you know, if you're standing on them, it's gravity doing its job, doing its work.
Right. Okay. Well, let's say someone may think they have this, or like, oh, this looks familiar, or, you know, I've kind of noticed this in a spouse or something like that. What would you encourage them to do?
Yeah, I think it's always good to talk to your provider about the symptoms or observations that you notice. But the biggest thing is really, right, staying active, elevating your legs in the evening, and then you can try over-the-counter compression hose to prevent the swelling.
Put your feet up and relax a little. You deserve it.
That's
Dr. Anthony Soane, interventional cardiologist with Mercy Heart and Vascular. Thank you so much for coming on and explaining this to us. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. Have a good evening.
And I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Mark Reardon. Don't go anywhere on 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.